Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I want to rock and roll all night and party every day. I'm here
you do,
for the
don't you?
Abroad Japan podcast. I don't party every day. I've been quite busy, actually.
Lies.
You, Sunshine. I'm in the middle of what can only be described as a football podcast live tour. I had to go to the American embassy to get my American visa because we're doing some shows in America. That was stressful. Ooh. They ask you all kinds of questions. Spooky.
Like what?
Just why are you going to America? What are you doing there?
Why are you coming?
But it's kind of like this. They ask you, I say, well, I'm doing a live podcast out there. But obviously, it's on their say-so that I'm going to get to do it in the first place. So I can't really sort of say I'm doing a live podcast, because that's basically saying you're going to let me in. So I was like, if it's okay, I think I'd probably like to do a live podcast out there. Thank you.
I didn't even know you needed like a special visa to get to America from the UK. I thought we were the bestest of friends.
Well, no, you need it's a
special
working
relationship,
visa, so
isn't it?
I think a lot of people don't
special
bother with it, but let's make this very clear. Stakhanov Industries, Stakhanov Productions are very on the money when it comes to doing things right.
Very good, very good. And I also am very on the money when doing things right. For example, when I buy music for my videos, I have to buy a special license that costs $50.
Yes.
And it means I don't get buggered by YouTube. And yet, still, this week, one of my bloody videos, the brand new video, or the recent video where I'm like at a Japanese language school, it got a copyright strike for using a licensed song, which I bought the bloody rights to. So even if you play by the rules of YouTube, you still get screwed. And with that in mind, I've not had a good week, Pete.
Yeah,
God damn it.
The annoying thing is, you've bought that license, so like, what is the license worth exactly if you're going to get copyright struck anyway, if the algorithm is going to catch you out anyway? What's going on?
Still, it's what basically happens is if you get a copyright strike, you have to kind of just go back to them and say no, and you you can counter it, and they get 30 days to respond. The other people, the other party has 30 days to respond and decide whether or not they agree with you or not. And in the past, even though I've had a license, I paid like $50 to use the song in my video and have it watched on YouTube. Even though I've done that and played by the rules, I've still got buggered. So it's a little bit daunting. It's a little bit annoying, to be honest. And it means that this video that I've spent like a week or two, about a week making and producing and working so hard on, is going to get demonetized. And probably, I don't know if it gets buggered on the YouTube algorithm, if it gets demonetized as well. It's not pretty. You lose not only revenue, but also I think the video it's kind buggered. Of gets buggered. So yeah, it's not been a good week. That's been annoying.
Yeah, Chris,
did go on Twitter and rant about that.
That'll be my pee. Very upsetting.
There you go.
You try and do the right thing,
there you
and
go.
You get messed up anyway.
Still, could be worse. I read a really interesting article that took me by surprise about bullying. Now, Japan has a bullying issue. It's quite well known that in Japan, schools, for whatever reason, they don't seem to handle bullying that well.
Right.
Have you ever been bullied, Pete? Or have you bullied anyone?
Not consistently. I'm sure I've had my moments when I've been bullied. I don't think I've done any bullying. I'm not an imposing individual, even back then when I was at school. I'm sure I've had my moments.
I mean, I've been on both sides of the fence. I wasn't like really badly bullied, but I did get a little bit bullied at school.
Mm.
And then I channeled that energy into becoming a bully myself. So I've been on both sides of the fence. I'd like to think I was not that bad a bully. But anyway, I don't know if there's a scale on the scale of bullying. Not that bad. But I saw the error in my ways and I made up with the guy. But there you go. Should I even have revealed that at the podcast that I got done for bullying? Probably
did he get
not.
Done for bullying, or did you just see the error of your ways and apologise? I mean, you know, how
well, it wasn't
you?
That bad. Okay. Basically, there was a guy sitting behind me in my first year at high school when I was 11 or 12, and I used to just throw his pencil case on the floor,
Chris,
on an almost daily basis.
What a
terrible.
Nasty little bully!
Terrible.
What a nasty little bully!
Terrible.
I'm going to give you a bunch of five next time I see you, sunshine.
gonna punch me in the face.
Punch you in the snoz.
And then I got told off by the head of the year. He was like, "Do you know why you're here?" And I was like, "No." And he was like, "Oh, you've been bullying someone." And I was like, "Oh God, didn't realise that." It was weird. I didn't even realise what I was doing the whole time. But I saw the error of my ways. I made up with the guy, and we became friends afterwards. And there you go. That's my little story of how I was. I could get bullied myself as well, but
it's like a superhero origin story. The dark mold.
But shit and not particularly flattering. I don't know. I think most people have experienced either bullying or being a bully without realising it at some point or another. Anyway, moving on. Bullying insurance is a thing in Japan. Can you believe that? Bullying insurance. Probably not surprising, given that in 2017 there were 91,000 cases of bullying alone. And I've seen it, you know, when I worked at a school for 3 years, you could see it unfold, and the teachers, I don't know, for some reason they don't handle it very well. I mean, going back to my story, the head of the entire year brought me into his office, lectured me, told me I was going to get fucked up if I carried on, and it ended there and then, and kind of, there you go. But in Japan, I don't find they don't seem to do that as much. I don't know why, and it's a really bad issue. But this bullying insurance, it costs 2,600 yen a month. And it basically covers all the legal fees and even like kind of health issues that come as a result of bullying. But mainly it covers legal issues. You know, if the parents of the bullied student get embroiled in legal difficulties with the school, it covers that. And already, you know, it launched this year. A company called Yell launched it. Already hundreds of people have signed up to it, and it seems to be pretty popular. But I've never heard of that. Bullying insurance is a thing.
It's very much treating the symptoms rather than the root cause, isn't it, really? My word. What an awful situation to be in. Awful.
I don't know. On account of... Because schools aren't doing anything about it, I guess this is the next best thing, right?
You know? I mean, bearing in mind that, Japan's got a huge suicide problem, a huge mental health problem, and it would seem like a pretty easy way to kind of start putting it in people's minds that certain things aren't right. And certain things aren't your fault. It's very sad indeed.
Well, it became... Yeah, I mean, we had a big incident pop up in the second year when I was teaching, and I think one of the students did some sort of act of self-harm after they were being really badly bullied. And it kind of brought the whole thing into the public eye, and it kind of dominated... Like, a few months of my whole school year were dominated by that incident.
Yeah.
But nothing really seemed to have come of it at the time, but it was all rather surreal. But, but I think another fact is because Japan's a kind of a collectivist culture, you're always part of a group, right? You always feel like you're part of a group. And so if you are being bullied and you're excluded from that group, then the sense of bullying is magnified, potentially. So I think that probably is a big factor as well. But it'll be interesting to see how this bullying insurance plays out. I never thought I'd hear the phrase bully insurance.
I imagine just like a casino, the house will always win. So it'll be the lawyers what win.
Probably. It'll be interesting to hear some cases of how this actually crops up in the future. Anyway, moving on. In a completely different turn of events, completely different news story. I came across this luxury toilet paper recently. This story about this luxury toilet. Japan is the most expensive toilet paper in the world.
Really?
How much is a roll of toilet paper in the UK?
Per roll. If you're buying per roll, something's gone terribly wrong.
All right, let's say a pack of 12. Let's say a pack
you're
of 12.
You're in a terrible dire straits. You've got limited funds, and you're going, I really need a poo. I would say a pack, probably about £1.99. £1.50.
£1.99 for a pack of 12?
Yeah. Six. Six rolls. £1.99.
This is maths with Chris and Pete.
Yeah. It makes it sound paper. like it's when you ask a politician how much a pint of milk is and they need to know, otherwise they've lost touch. But you just buy it in your Wiggly shop, don't you? So you don't really know how much it is. You're not going to not buy toilet roll, are you? You need it.
Exactly. If you don't know how much toilet roll paper costs, then you must be quite rich because you won't be buying it yourself. But in Japan, there is this ridiculous toilet paper that I've yet to lay my hands on. I don't know if I will. I don't know if I can afford it. For a pack of 12 of this luxurious toilet roll, it's $100 for 12, a pack of 12 toilet rolls. Apparently, there was this paper factory in Shikoku owned by an aging guy called Morisawa-san. Mm. And at the age of 63, he found his skin was always getting... He's got kind of really sensitive skin,
right,
despite owning this paper factory. And so he used his skills as this... owner of a paper factory to reverse engineer the manufacturing of paper into the softest and greatest toilet paper in the world. Most toilet paper is 2 plies thick. This is 3 plies thick. And right. It's recently become a national obsession after various celebrities have started bringing it up in TV shows and whatnot. And he went from selling just a few hundred rolls a month. I think he was selling 300 rolls a month. Now he's selling 12,000 rolls a week.
Wow.
Given it's booming, you know.
You sent the piece in it. I like the fact that it's made by delicately processing the paper pulp fibre and precisely managing the water temperature used in the process. It yields a softer wipe. I like that a lot. Very delicate, very careful.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
I know. Just one, though. $12 per roll.
Bully insurance. Yeah. It's given as gifts, though. It's ridiculous.
I'm not really into that, to be honest.
The website bills it as being suitable for birthdays and thank you gifts. And thank you gifts for wedding guests.
$100.
So people have been buying this toilet roll. So when you go to someone's wedding, you get this as like a kind of party bag style gift. Can you imagine? The sheer glory of opening your party bag to reveal the most luxurious and decadent toilet roll on the planet.
Wipe your bum on this. I mean, to be honest, I mean, there's, you know, it's a fairly it's a dirty little act, but we all do it and we all need to do it, there's a certain pleasure to be derived from it. So why not make it easier and more fun and more pleasurable when it comes to wiping your bot?
Well, you can certainly follow up your last YouTube video by reviewing this luxury toilet roll.
Damn right.
Make it happen.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
We turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got, Mr. Donaldson?
Got an email from Alison. Hello, Alison. Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm from Delaware, the US, and I will be in Japan for the first time ever in less than 3 weeks. She sounds excited. I've compiled a list of things I want to do/see, and I'm realising that it's a bit too long. I know I haven't asked for ideas, but what, in your opinion, is the one thing I have to do during my visit? Thanks for taking the time to read this, you handsome devils. Love the pod on the YouTube. Keep up the great work. Sincerely, Alison. What do you reckon there, Chris?
It's come up a lot recently. What with the Rugby World Cup?
Yeah.
I've had a lot of people asking me things to do and whatnot, and it's a tough one. I don't know. The one thing. I thought long and hard, and I decided it is get up at 5 a.m. and walk across Tokyo for 4 hours.
Yeah.
In the morning.
That's nice.
From Shinjuku to Ginza. Mm. That was it. Because I did that before. I remember I used to get the bus to Tokyo in the morning from Yamagata. And it went overnight. And by the time we arrived, it was 5 a.m. I'd get off the bus. I'd be pretty bleary-eyed, pretty shattered. But it was really nice. We always got off the bus at Shinjuku, and at 5 or 6 a.m. you can watch it go from quiet, kind of quiet central city like landscape,
yeah,
nothing really going on apart from a few drunken hungover stragglers, to just booming and just turning into the world's busiest city and yeah, turning into the world's busiest station. Being there for that transition period from 5 a.m. to kind of 8 a.m. in the morning, that 3-hour period, is exhilarating. And I'll never forget that, honestly. Usually. I used to sit at this Starbucks in Shinjuku and just watch the station just gradually go from being quiet and closed to just bursting into life. And I'll never forget that. And I used to then just walk across Tokyo in the mornings. And yeah, the things you see on that 4-hour walk, though, from Shinjuku Station to Ginza, it will, I don't know, I think you'll see a lot of amazing cool stuff. And that's one of my things. That's probably top of my list. What about you?
That's actually a lovely idea. You know I'm just going to say coolish. But at 5 a.m. 5 a.m. stroll, because you're going to be jet lagged, you're going to be kind of up at that time anyway, probably. And just seeing the place come to life. And also, if you go in a month where it's quite warm, it's usually quite cool, the weather's quite nice, it's a lovely stroll. So yeah, I definitely recommend that. And then, you know, get a bit of breakfast, get the tube back, have a little snooze for a couple of hours to get you, you know, get yourself back into the day, and then the rest of the day is yours. I always have a bit of food, so go back for a bit of snooze.
Perfect. I don't know what I can add to that, really. I think that's perfect.
Beautiful. Well done,
Chris.
Do
that, Alison.
Do that.
You won't be disappointed.
Mm.
I won't spoil my already perfect answer. we got one from Simon from Norway.
Yeah.
It says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. Big fan of the videos and podcasts. My girlfriend and I are travelling to Japan in November and are looking forward to it. I thought, instead of getting travel tips, can you list your top 3 Natsuki quotes from videos or from your everyday life that hasn't been recorded? My favourite has to be Natsuki pointing to the vacuum cleaner in your flat and calling it the fucking cleaner. Keep up the amazing work with the YouTube videos and podcasts. Arigato kauzaimasu." That's a Pete quote, by the way.
Oh.
"Best regards, Simon from Norway." Do you remember that quote? Arigato kauzaimasu.
Was that in the
Kobe beef
steak? The Kobe beef flesh, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, it's the big Kobe beef video. Exciting.
Brilliant. Best pun to date.
I'm trying to think of my favourite. Simon's gone for, cool customer. I just like the way
that's
he
my one.
Curls
you,
his L's.
You're stealing my answers.
Oh, is that your one? Sorry, I thought Simon
that's mine.
Put that. Oh, you wrote that down as yours, right? Okay, yeah, definitely.
I wrote my answer. Yeah, it's the one you actually use the most, I'd say. Where Natsuki just says,
customer.
"I'll kill customer." When we were in Tokyo for the day, I'm going to the, that izakaya where they filmed Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of based on, you know, that's probably my favourite quote. Followed up with the time I gave him some fisherman's friend, and his mouth kind of, I don't know if you've ever had fisherman's friend. It's horrible. It's
I love a fisherman's friend. They are delicious.
Do you actually?
Yeah, I really do. They really sort your head out. The stronger the better for me. They also do like different versions as well, as like aniseed flavour, cherry flavour. They're sugar free. Don't have too many of them because you will be needing some very fancy 3-ply toilet roll. They're great. I guess they're designed, or certainly culturally, regarded as being a sweet that fishermen's eat as they fish, because they're going to be cold and wet and they want to be warm. So as they fish, they get involved with a bit of fisherman's friend action. But yeah, nice.
I gave Natsuki like 3 or 4 to put in his mouth at once. So he'd never had them before. And for the next 20 minutes, he wouldn't like stop crying and screaming. But he kept repeating the phrase, "Fisherman strong, fisherman strong." And it was brilliant.
Cool, fisherman.
Third and final quote, probably from Natsuki the movie, where he's quietly having his breakfast in the morning, the start of the film, and he reveals his breakfast. He says, "My breakfast, coffee, cigarette, and 2 cigarettes. And it's just that. He's trying to list off his breakfast, but he kind of, there's nothing else. It's just coffee, cigarettes, and more cigarettes.
He's going to need the 2-ply.
Pretty revealing breakfast. Bless him.
That's a hell of a way to start your day.
Yeah. Fisherman strong. Bit of coffee, a few cigarettes, job done.
How did you? I'm trying to think of a favorite Natsuki quote, but now I'm kind of drawn to that man who was in the sex, not the sex, the love hotel saying sex. That's one of my favourite
the love hotel.
And also you saying that you were trying to find a secret sexy club on your YouTube video.
Oh, yeah.
There's loads of those. I should cut out a lot of them, just do a big mega mix of clips from your shows.
I'm actually currently getting a Abroad in Japan website made up, and one of the things, like top of my list, is to have a Abroad in Japan soundboard with not only Natsuki quotes, but just quotes from everyone, and definitely getting the Love Hotel guy. And his opening act while he was doing the monkey bars, which you so eloquently put in a previous podcast, but yeah, that soundboard, it's going to be amazing.
Soundboard.
It's going to be the ultimate draw card.
Very 90s. To the very late 90s, the old soundboards. Used to love those back in the day. You can do little crank calls pretending you're Natsuki. Oh, cool, customer. That's a threat. That's a threat. Your number's getting taken. If Natsuki starts his day with breakfast of coffee and cigarettes and two cigarettes, how did you start your breakfast? Because I recently was in a Japanese sort of supermarket place, and everyone has having their boring old katsu curry, cheese curry, blah blah, and I bought them each a little packet of natto, and I've not heard back.
Oh good lord, no. Oh, good brown lord, flakes, no. Pretty
brown
boring
flakes. That is boring.
Two bananas and some brown flakes. Oh, job done.
Okey-dokey.
Trying to get fit,
and loads of coffees. Yeah, how is the health kit going? All right,
it's going all right. I'll give you an extensive briefing in the next podcast. Suffice to say, for the last 3 weeks now, I've done 10,000 steps every day.
Sweet, lovely old
every
job.
Day.
Well, you've been a busy bee. Yeah. You've been all over the gaff. What's the video that should be out by the time this podcast hits?
When's this podcast coming up? I don't know. I don't know when this podcast will come out. Probably it'll be just after the Fukushima one.
Lovely.
Fukushima documentary, which very you haven't yet seen.
No,
I'm coming out next week.
That part of the world.
Yeah, that's coming out next week, so you can watch that and we'll discuss that next week.
Ah, cool. Lovely old job. I very much enjoyed you doing the 21 things that women find attractive in men. You know, that mad stuff. All the weird stuff. Interviewed your friend, and I was like, bloody hell, she's got a really nice house. But I presume that was when you were over in London, because it's a really big house.
That's not a house. Good point, actually.
I see. I was really confused.
That's right. We poached content from the Abroad in Japan podcast. Recently, I've been looking over the podcast episodes, and I've seen we've got a lot of interesting content that I think can kind of be ported over to Abroad in Japan channel and kind of spruced up a little bit. And I basically rented out an Airbnb place in London, met up with Jackie, and then we just bashed it out there and filmed it there, and had my ego destroyed, absolutely shredded.
It's a good video.
In the podcast. Yeah, good fun though. I love that.
Yeah.
What an experience.
Don't wear too much aftershave is the takeaway from me, but even though I wear a lot of aftershave all the time, all right, stinky boy. People at work.
You did beat me though, didn't you?
Say again. Barely. We both did all right with the eating meat thing, didn't we? I seem to recall.
Yeah. If you missed it, ladies and gentlemen, go back and listen to 26 Traits Japanese Girls Want in a Guy. Pete and I did it originally, and then I stole it from myself and did it again upon the YouTube channel. If you want to listen to it, podcast. If you want to watch it, YouTube. We now turn our attention to Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Chris and
Hello,
Pete.
Dave.
I'll read it out. I'll steal this one. My name is Dave.
Are you reading
it? I'm from Chicago.
You are?
Oh, I'm reading it. It's mine.
You read it then. Go, get going. I was just doing a hello, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
My name's Dave. I'm from Chicago. I visited Tokyo last year in the winter, and I love the city. I'm planning my next trip very early for May 2021, and I would like to visit more rural regions of Japan. The most notable is Aomori Prefecture, because the pictures look pretty spectacular, and it seems to be a little bit less touristy. I also love seafood. What's the best place in Aomori to stay in so I can get the most of the regional dishes and culture? Any tips for Tohoku in general? Thanks, and have a nice summer. Dave from Chicago. That's a good question. I've got loads of videos on Aomori, actually. I was recently speaking to Ryotaro. We were talking about our favourite place in Japan, just amongst ourselves over some dinner, and we both agreed, actually, that our favourite place, certainly in Tohoku, is Aomori. By virtue of the fact it's got a very... Yeah, it's got a very distinct identity as Aomori. I don't know why. Maybe because it's kind of a little bit isolated up north, the right. most northern prefecture on the island of Honshu, bordering Hokkaido. It's the place where the most expensive, most decadent tuna is fished from. It's also home to cider, the best cider in Japan, which I can testify is pretty bloody spectacular. But it's just got loads of cool things. Like, it's got the biggest morning market in Japan. It's got the place where they believe Jesus died. Remember that one, Pete?
Yes, I do remember that one.
Jesus' death place.
Big shout.
That was cracking. It's really cool, though. They've got loads of cool stuff. I've made at least 6 or 7 videos there. Mm. So do go through the channel and look through them. But, I mean, do you have any tips for travelling through Tohoku?
No, I'm not sure I know exactly where Tohoku is. Whereabouts is it, like, in the grand scheme of things?
What do you mean, where's Tohoku? Well,
I don't know where Tohoku is.
I gave you a whirlwind tour of Tohoku.
Oh, is that where it was? Right, okay. Yeah. It's up the Sendai bit of the place, yeah? No?
Up the Sendai bit. The six prefectures in northern Honshu.
I'm looking at it now. Yeah, we got it. We're there, guys. Well, I really enjoyed Sakata. That was brilliant.
Sakata.
Where else do we go? Sakata. Had a look at some
Yamagata Prefecture. Yeah,
aren't you going to be taking your friend out on the same Pete trip? Flash a couple of.
I am. Yeah, good friend of mine.
With broken trousers. Good old, that's what I
did. Good old Dave. I've got another friend. I've got a friend called Dave who's coming next week, and we're doing a road trip around. I'm doing what I like to call the Pete Tour.
Damn right.
Which basically means I take him to get drunk and do karaoke in Sakata, in Yamagata Prefecture. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun, road tripping around the north. He's been to Japan before, but he's done the usual stuff, like Tokyo, Osaka, Kyoto. This time, we're going off the beaten track, and actually, we are going to Aomori. Top of my list, though, Dave, is go to Hachinohe. Yeah, Hachinohe is home to the largest morning market in Japan. Mm. From there, you can go and see where Jesus may or may not have died, about half an hour from there, inland, and then go to Aomori City and try the seafood market. It's a really good seafood market, and a restaurant selling the most bizarre ramen dish I've ever had. It's called curry miso milk ramen.
Ooh.
It's basically ramen broth that consists of curry and butter and milk, and it's amazing. It's legendary. So good.
That sounds rich. Is Akita the place where the Akita dog is from, presumably?
Yeah, well, I'm going to say that. Yeah, but I don't know. Probably.
Alsace is where the Alsatians are from.
There's a lot of Akita dogs in Akita, so I think it's a safe assumption.
Well, they established a colony there, and they decided it was going to be called that. All the dogs decided at the same time. It was an Isle of Dogs situation.
Well, I remember when I was in Akita once doing some sort of tour, I got taken to see this really famous Akita dog who was in like Japanese films and TV.
Right.
And he was like the most famous dog in all of Japan.
Cool.
And he was just sitting in this kennel in this garden quietly minding his own business. And it was all rather surreal. I can't remember his name. What was it? It was like Mr. Wolf or something.
Mr. Wolf. Was he really, I guess he'd be a massive kidnap risk. It's probably why he's in a cage.
Only you would think like that, Pete.
I'm just saying, the Yakuza would be like, we can make a bit of cash off this, let's steal this dog.
I think the Yakuza are already not particularly popular amongst Japan, and I think that would pretty much destroy their reputation overnight, stealing the most famous, beloved dog
in all
of Japan from a kennel in Akita. But
you run the Yakuza,
back to the original question.
I'll run the
go
Yakuza.
Go there, Dave. That could be a great video. How would we run the Yakuza in our own special way?
Dog kidnaps.
To discuss next week. Dog kidnaps.
We treat them well.
And bully insurance. There you go. Brilliant. Keep the stories, comments, questions coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. That's all for now, though, folks. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. And we'll see you next Thursday or Wednesday.
Bye-bye.
It's a secret. Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hold up.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.